Well, good morning, Grace Gospel Church. I know we were all expecting David Arruda. I don't know if you heard, David and Allie had a car accident Friday evening, and I got a text from him that I was going to need to preach in his place. I know you're probably as disappointed as I am. We all love hearing our brother David preach the truths of God's Word to us. Let me begin by reminding you of a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told to the chief priests and the elders of Israel, the Sanhedrin, the day after he cleansed the temple at the second time at the end of his ministry. He says to them, a man had two sons. He said to the first, go out and work in the field. And he said, sure, and he didn't go. And he said to the second son, you go out and work in the field. And he said, no. But then he changed his mind and did go and work. And he says to the Jewish leaders, which one did the will of his father? And they said, the second one, the one who initially said no, but then afterwards decided to obey. The end is always more important than the beginning. It is so easy to start out well, to start out fast, to start out strong. More important is finishing strong, finishing well. The end is the exclamation point on everything that comes up before it. The end of our life is more important than how we started out. So many start out faithful and then fall away. The end, the legacy that we leave behind from finishing well, has greater power and greater influence on others than anything we do up until that point. This last message on the life of Moses is entitled, A Call to Finish Well, Your Final Legacy. Every single slide that contains scripture that we're going to preach through, really I can only summarize, there's too many of them to get through it all in a timely fashion. But every single slide is going to ask all of us, you and myself as well, a question about our legacy, about how we are finishing the Christian race. Have we run the race? Have we finished the fight the way Paul described to Timothy he had done? When he wrote those words, 67 AD, he was about to be martyred, beheaded in front of Caesar for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew his death was imminent. He had run the race. He had finished the course. Henceforth, there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness. And not for him only, but also to all who love the Lord's appearing. Loving the Lord's appearing means we run the race, we fight the fight, we finish well, just like Paul the Apostle did. This word legacy means a long-lasting impact of a person's life. That's the aspect of the word legacy, of the definition of the word legacy that we want to focus on. Not events and things, but our lives. What is the legacy of your life and mine this morning? What these chapters are really about, repetition comes out for the most part very, very strongly. Chapter 30, the commandment which I command you, keep his commandments. Is there any doubt what chapter 30 is mostly about? 31, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. We know that repetition is important. When the Lord said, truly, truly, oh, I better pay attention to that. Here we have repetition coming out in each of these chapters, or most of them. Chapter 32, ascribe greatness to our God. His work is perfect. And then there's a warning that's associated with this perfectly great God that we worship and serve. Chapter 33, the blessing which Moses, the man of God, blessed the sons of Israel. Blessed are you, O Israel. And then chapter 34, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there. We read about his birth and being hidden away from Pharaoh, not put to death because his parents feared the Lord more than they feared Pharaoh. And then his death is recorded in Deuteronomy 34. In these chapters, the Lord is revealed, as he is throughout Deuteronomy, as caring for his people and keeping his promises to them. Brothers and sisters, you can always count on God to care for you and to keep all his promises to you. He loves you as much as he loved Moses and the children of Israel. In fact, he sent even his only beloved son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, to bear our sins in his body on the cross. That's how much he loves you. If you ever doubt God's love because of what you're experiencing in life, look to the cross and you'll see how much he loves you. If you can take only one thing away from today's message, let it be this. Finish well by always obeying the Lord and trusting in him. His blessings will always follow. This will be your legacy. Let it be a legacy of obedience and trust, and the blessings will follow. Others will see how the Lord blesses you for your obedience and trust, and that legacy you can leave behind as a testimony, as a witness to them. We're going to look at these five chapters all under the umbrella of a call to finish well. Moses knew, God had told him, that he would not enter the promised land. Moses knew this long before Deuteronomy chapter 34. Moses, in front of all the people, he chose to disobey the Lord's instructions. Very poor testimony to all the people who already had problems with obedience in the Lord. He chose to become angry, had a problem with anger his whole life. Remember, he murdered an Egyptian in anger. He had problems with anger his entire life, and he paid the price for it. He disobeyed the Lord in front of all of the people. He took credit for what God had previously done. Must I give you water from the rock again? And he struck the rock a second time. And God judged him. And there were going to be consequences. There are always consequences to disobedience to the Lord. Sometimes the consequences are small. Sometimes, as in Moses' case, they're great. Moses had great responsibility. He had great privilege. And so his judgment for his rebellion in front of all the people and taking glory for himself was that he would see the promised land but not enter it. He knew it. He knew his life was soon to be over. They had wandered. All of the original generation who came out of Egypt, those over the age of 20 who had refused to enter the promised land 40 years earlier, had now died in the wilderness, just like the Lord said they would. And all the new generation, those under the age of 20 and those born over those 40 years, were now standing at the threshold of the promised land, ready to enter. Moses knew his life was almost over, and he needed to give them instruction so that they did not prove unfaithful the way their parents had. Deuteronomy took place, the entire book, over at most a month. the last month of Moses' life, if you knew that you had 1 month left to live, how would that affect what you said to others, how you related to others, how you cared for others, what you want others that you love, that are closest to you, to know? This is what we get from Moses. And the very end of that month, we get these chapters. We get his final instructions. What would your final instructions be if you knew you had but days left to live on the earth? We get his final exhortation. We get a final song of praise to God and a warning that comes out of that song. And then what would your final blessing to others be? What would they remember you by? And then what is your final legacy? What would you want that to be? What would you want others to be, to remember you by, to be most impressed by? And so we have this call to finish well, and we're going to look at these five chapters very quickly, just summaries under each of these headings. Let's first look at the final instructions that Moses gives in chapter 30. Will your legacy be characterized by references to God and His Word? Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, the Lord your God. Notice the blue, five times, the Lord your God, the Lord your God, the Lord your God, the Lord your God, the Lord your God. Do you know, if I included the complete text of those five verses, there would be eight references to God, to the Lord. Eight references. Clearly, Moses' life was focused on his God. He lived for his God. He was preoccupied with his God. His God preoccupied his thoughts, so affected his mind, his heart, his soul, that talk of God is what came out of his mouth. This was the most important thing to him. How about to you and I? Will our legacy be characterized by repeated, by often, by near constant references to the Lord and His Word? Notice the Jews rejoiced in the Abrahamic covenant with its outward sign of circumcision. But here, God doesn't just want the outward. By the time we get to the days of Christ, we see the outward is what everybody elevated and exalted. Outward Pharisaism, outward obedience. Good-looking deeds coming from a dark heart. Here, the Lord will circumcise your heart. Circumcision was a sign that you were set aside as part of the people of God. You were devoted to God. Here, God doesn't just want circumcision in the flesh. He wants circumcision in the heart. That leaves no one out, male or female. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart. It's amazing. He needs to do that because how dark is our heart? Left to ourselves, we might never do that. The circumcision of the heart is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Why? So that He feels good? So that He smiles? No, so that you might live. God always has our best interests in mind. Our greatest good is always found in His greatest glory. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all your work when you love Him with all your heart and all your soul. He'll prosper you if you obey the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in the book of the law. If you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, God wants our life, our thoughts, our heart, our speech to be filled with references to Him and His Word. Will your legacy be characterized by spiritual prosperity? Oh, we like the sound of that. But look what's involved here. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. You know, I have a brother in the Lord that I've known for 50 years back in Connecticut. He says, the Christian life is easy. We make it hard. It's not too difficult. We make it hard. God has made it easy for us. He's given us His Holy Spirit who indwells us, who will produce His fruit if we yield to Him and we don't quench and grieve His Spirit. If we walk by the Spirit, the path is easy. The way of the transgressor is hard, Proverbs says, not the way of the righteous. The word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it. You know God's word. You've heard it preached. You've read it yourself. You know what the Lord requires of us, to walk humbly with our God, to do justice, because He is just. Be in His word. Let His word be near you so that it is in your heart, so that it can help you observe it and obey it and see the Lord's blessing in your life. Moses says, see, I have set before you life and prosperity and death and adversity. There's only two paths. Jesus Christ said the same thing. There are two gates, He said. Here there's two paths. There's a path of life and prosperity. There's a path of life and death and adversity. There's only two options. Which option do you and I want? What option will be our legacy? He commands them today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that the Lord your God may bless you. God wants to bless us. He's a good father, though. He doesn't raise spoiled brats. We should not walk in His ways and keep His commandments to try and get blessed. Blessing is just the side effect of a loving father's heart toward his obedient child. Will your legacy be characterized by faithfulness? Moses warns them, but if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, and how many are the idols of the heart? We can manufacture them day in and day out. Moses says, this is what's going to happen. I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. And in fact, I call heaven and earth as witness against you. The sin that you and I think we are committing in private, in secret, no one sees. Moses says, heaven and earth is a witness against you. Moses set before them, again he repeats it, life and death, the blessing and the curse. And he appeals to them, so choose life in order that you may live. Choose Jesus Christ and His way so that you may live. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, trusted in what He did on the cross, bearing your sins in His body, shedding His precious blood, dying in your place under the wrath and judgment of God, I urge you, I beseech you, I appeal to you like Moses did. Choose life in Christ in order that you may live. Trust Him, believe in Him, not in your good works, not in your good deeds, not in your prayers, not in anything that you have done. The scripture says so clearly, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. Salvation is all of grace. It's all of God's mercy. It's all of Christ's doing. We add nothing to it. He says, choose life that you may live. How? By loving the Lord your God. How do you know if you love Him? By obeying His voice, by holding fast to Him, finishing the race. Hold fast to the very end. Then there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness. This is life, holding fast to Him to the end. Will your legacy be characterized by faithfulness? Let's look at his final exhortation to the people. Will your legacy be characterized by exhorting others to be strong in their faith, especially during trials? He says to them, the Lord, and look how much repetition there is in there. I use color and some underlining to try and show you how so many thoughts are repeated in the verses of chapter 31. The Lord will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. We sang about this morning. Moses said, be strong and courageous. The Lord goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous. Moses was exhorting them. They were about to enter that land that their parents were afraid to go in because of the giants. They felt they would be killed by those giants. And God had told them, I'm going to go in and fight. I'm going to chase them out before you. I will scatter them before you. They didn't believe him. And so they didn't enter in and they wandered in the wilderness till they died. Moses is trying to encourage them not to follow in the bad legacy of their parents. He tells them, be strong and courageous. Joshua will repeat this in the book of Joshua as well. Look, I've told you before, every once in a while I might include an experience of mine from walking with the Lord for 50 years. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes by some miracle of grace, I did something right. I've told you before about sharing the gospel and being surrounded and spit on and shoved around. I told you about sharing the gospel to the crime boss who ran all the drug and prostitution in North Chicago and Great Lakes when I was stationed at the naval base there. Here's something I never told you, though. So about 38 years ago, I was in my early 30s at the time. I was going to preach in a hostile environment, gospel truth. And I'd already done that once, and there were consequences that I really didn't appreciate coming back onto me. And I felt very strongly it would happen again, and I very, very reluctantly, because there was a real need, I decided to go. And that day, the weather was very, very bad. I had a 15-mile drive, mostly on Interstate 91 South, heading towards New Haven, and then on the bridge over New Haven Harbor, 95 North, and 15 miles before I would get off. I saw only one car on my side of the road that day, only one, because the weather forecast was so bad, nobody was on the road. So, as I'm nearing the end of 91 South, the way it was set up then is different than now. I moved to the left-hand lane, and I was going to start to merge on to 95 North, and I got my first and only ever panic attack. I was thinking about what the consequences will be for me for going and proclaiming gospel truth. And my heart started pounding. Trust me, if my heart pounded like this now, I'd have a heart attack. You'd be dialing 911 or taking pictures. The Lord struck the preacher down. My heart was pounding. I was drenching with sweat all over my body. Sweat was coming down my forehead into my eyes. My hands were sweating on the steering wheel. I was panicking. It's the first and only panic attack I ever had in my life. And I merge onto the bridge. I signal and move over to the middle lane. There's nobody on the road at all. And I'm thinking about, should I turn around? You know, should I go back? I mean, I'm scared. And I'm panicking, and I'm not thinking rationally, and I'm definitely not thinking about the Lord or trusting in Him. And I'm in the middle of the lane driving along when a car coming from south of New Haven towards New York comes onto the bridge in its own lane, and I'm in the middle lane. And slowly, as I'm panicking, they pull up alongside of me. They pass me very slowly, then cut me off. Oh, that startles me. I don't know why they did this. I never cut them off. I mean, you know, I'm in my own lane. I never moved into their lane. Why did this happen? It startles me. I was so startled, I didn't even hit the brake. I just let off the gas. And as that car pulls away, I see the top of the license plate is orange. New York. Connecticut had deep blue with white letters on it. New York had black letters on this orange, this medium dark orange. But it had to be New York. It couldn't be Connecticut. He's 74 miles from New York, from the Connecticut-New York border with terrible weather. Why is this car here? Because the Lord was going to talk to me through that car. Think about that. Balaam, a false prophet. He got a donkey, living, breathing, warm. You could touch it. I get talked to through an inanimate object, a license plate. What am I talking about? I could see it's New York, and as it slowly pulls away, I realize what it said on the vanity plate. See, it had to be New York. At that time in Connecticut, maybe still now, you're only allowed 6 letters on a vanity plate. But in New York, you're allowed 7. Tell me, is this coincidence or divine providence? The license plate said, "Fret not." Over the next few seconds, this calm came over me. My heart slowed down and started pounding so hard. "Fret not." The Lord spoke to me through a license plate. "The Lord will cross ahead of you. Fret not. He will destroy these nations before you. Fret not. Be strong and courageous. Fret not. Do not be afraid or tremble. Fret not." No matter what you're going through in life, you were just told you lost your job. Fret not. The Lord is with you. You were just given a bad health diagnosis. I've been there. My wife has been there. We understand, but fret not. Trust in Him. He knows best. He will not fail you or forsake you. Fret not. Be strong and courageous, especially during trials. Let that be part of your legacy to others. Will your legacy be characterized by exhorting others to be faithful to God's word? God tells Moses, "Assemble the people so that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God." The reason why you come here to hear the word of God is so you can learn the word of God, but not just keep it in your mind so that you would fear the Lord. We've been told in past messages that the fear of the Lord is a Hebrew expression for obedience, and it comes out here. Fear the Lord your God and be careful to observe all the words of this law. Hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. Will your legacy be one that exhorts others to follow God's word, to be in God's word, to obey God's word? Let's look at Moses' song. He actually composes a song. I'm not going to do that for you because you know how poorly I sing. But Moses composed a song, and I'm not going to sing his song either. No worries. Fret not. Will your legacy be characterized by praises to God? Is this what people will remember you by? That you were praising the Lord, even at times when maybe it was surprising you were going through some trial in life. Listen to what Moses says. I proclaim. He wasn't shy about it. He did this before the people of Israel. I proclaim the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, what He stands for, His reputation, who He is and what He's done. the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. The Rock. The Rock. No, that's not Dwayne Johnson, okay? That's Yahweh, the God of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Rock. His work is perfect. It can't be improved upon. You can't improve upon perfection. He knows what he's doing. His work is perfect. For all his ways are just. We sang of his justice this morning. All of God's ways are just. You can never point the finger at God and say, that wasn't right, that wasn't fair, that was not just. God always treats us in every situation and circumstance, every moment of our life, with justice. He's a God of faithfulness. He's without injustice. He's righteous and upright as he. This is who our God is. Now the song goes on to what he has done. He found him, Israel, in a desert land. Look, there's no place more inhospitable to human life than the desert. There's no water. There's sandstorms. There's nothing to drink, nothing to eat. Oases are few and far between. He found Israel in a desert land. There was no one else who would even be looking. Caravans didn't normally traverse open desert. They followed rivers in those days. But he found them. Imagine that. Miracle upon miracle is what Moses is singing about here. And in the howling waste of a wilderness, in the middle of a sandstorm. Have you ever seen a sandstorm? One of my friends was stationed in the Middle East, and he took video of a sandstorm. Wow, you can't see anything. It covers everything. He encircled him to protect him from that sandstorm. He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye. You cover your eyes. You wear goggles if you're in the American military, if you're in a sandstorm. That sand will blast your eyes, the cornea of your eyes. And then he uses the picture of an eagle, a mother eagle, teaching its young to fly and caring and protecting them so that they do not fall all the way to the ground from that cliffside nest. Will your legacy be characterized by praising God for who he is and all that he's done for you? Will your legacy be characterized by love and boldness in warning others to be faithful to God? You want to know what you truly believe? I mean, really, truly, in the depths of your heart, what you really believe in, what you really trust in, what you really value, it's what you talk about. Every time we open our mouth, we speak volumes about ourselves. Jesus Christ taught this. Out of the heart, man speaks. Our words come from our heart. Will our legacy be characterized by warning others? Look, there's nothing that is more loving and more faithful to a friend than to warn them that they are on the wrong path. If we truly believe that in our heart of hearts, we will warn them. It says in verse 21, they have made me jealous with what is not God, with the idols. They have provoked me to anger with their idols, so I will make them jealous. God is going to pay them back in kind. He'll make them jealous with those who are not a people. Foreign nations that worship idols that were not the chosen people of God. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Moses is prophesying here about what he knew would happen to them centuries later when they would abandon the worship of Yahweh and then they would be carried away into captivity, first by the Assyrians and then by the Babylonians. Would that they were wise. Instead of provoking the Lord to anger with idolatry, the wise course of action is that they would discern their future. You know, the idols of this life, the temptations of this life, They present themselves now. What they cry out to us to do is gratify yourself now. Don't think about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Didn't the Lord say that? Yes, but he meant it very different. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. The idols of the heart, the evil one who tempts man's soul, the wicked desires of our heart, they crave instant satisfaction now, not tomorrow, certainly not in eternity. Satisfy yourself now. You deserve it. That's how they cry out. But God says, would that they were wise, that they would discern their future, not the now, not the cry of the idol, of the draw of temptation. It's nothing but a juicy worm on a hook. Discern our futures. Discern your future. Warn others about the future that they're heading to if they don't repent and turn to the Lord. If you don't repent of your sin, you are going to be shocked when we get to the seven churches of Revelation, what the Lord says to each of the churches at the end of each of the letters. You're going to be shocked, and you're going to see it in new light. It has to do with how you finish. How you finish. God wants us to leave a legacy of discernment of the future, where we live our life, we make our decisions by what the future holds. There is nothing like our rock. They're all imitations. They're fool's gold. They're not the real thing. Will your legacy be characterized by pointing others to God? The Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servants when he sees that their strength is gone. This is how he treats those who long for him, who wish to serve him and to love him. And then he says, see now, behold, he points them to himself here. He says, I am he, and there's no God besides me. These other things, these idols of the heart, don't look at them. Look at me, God says. See now, behold, I am he. It is I who put to death and give life. The Lord is the one who decides death and life. Not man, not anyone else. No idol of the heart. Nothing that you crave or desire. No appetite of the flesh gives death or life. Only the Lord. In fact, he will wound, he will chastise, the New Testament scriptures say. I have wounded it, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. There's no way to escape his chastening rod. He will wound, and he will heal when we repent and turn to him. Will your legacy be characterized by warning others to obey God? Moses spoke all the words of the song. He said, take them to heart. Take them to heart. All the words which I am warning you today. Not just the good words. Oh, we all love a nice flowery sermon. Oh, with wonderful, eloquent words. Oh, it sits so nice. Oh, that sounds so beautiful. Solomon said it's better to go to the house of sorrow than the house of feasting. Take all words to heart, even the words of warning, even the heavy words, even the harsh words. There's life in them. God wants you to have them, to understand them. Observe all of his words carefully. It's not an idle word. God didn't speak to hear himself speak. He didn't write through the pens of men just to get something down on paper, so to speak. It's not an idle word. It is your life. This book is the book of life. It has the mind of God revealed in words through the pens of men, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not an idle word. It is the word of life. By that word, by obedience to it, you will prolong your days. Moses gave them a final blessing. And I'm wondering what kind of blessing will be our legacy. Will we be characterized by being a person who blesses others? This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the sons of Israel before his death. Indeed, he loves the people. God loves his people. Moses blessed them with a reminder that God loves them. Will that be our legacy, yours and mine? That we bless others with telling them how much God loves them and what he's done for them, especially in the cross of Jesus Christ. He loves the people. And then he speaks well of the people. All your holy ones, all your people are in your hand, and they followed in your steps. Everyone receives your word. He speaks well of the people to God. How often do we speak well in prayer, for example, of our brothers and sisters to God? Do we only bring our own needs before God, or do we bring them before God? Their needs, their material needs, their temporal needs, their spiritual needs. Will your legacy be characterized by reminding others of who God is and what he has done for them? There is none like God. You know, a well-known Christian evangelist, talked about a question that he might want to give students. In 25 words or less, describe God and give two examples. It was a joke. There are no two examples. There is only one God. There is none like God. No one else like God. He rides the heavens to your help. And through the skies in his majesty, the eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Blessed are you, O Israel, a people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Will you and I be characterized? Will our legacy be one that includes telling others about who God is and what he has done for them? I hope so. I hope we speak often of God and what he has done for us because of who he is. And then lastly, Moses' final legacy. In one day, all of us will leave a legacy to those behind us, to family, to friends, to our brothers and sisters at Grace Gospel Church. Will your legacy be characterized by rejoicing at what the Lord has done in your life instead of focusing on what you did not receive? The Lord showed Moses all the land. The Lord said to Moses, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it, but you will not go over there." You know, well, I wonder what Moses' reply was. "Oh, God, you're such a meanie. Why don't you let me go in?" Moses knew why he wasn't going to go in, because of his disobedience, because of his rebellion. We get no hint that Moses focused on, ever in his writings, that he focused on what he was going to miss out through his own fault. Instead, he focused on the task. He didn't say, "Okay, God, you know, way back when he struck the rock, he's okay, I'm not going in. That's it. You lead him in. I'm gone. I'm history. Bye. You take care of them. I'm through leading these people. They're a pain in the neck anyways." Moses never said that. He continued on doing what God wanted him to do. He rejoiced over what the Lord did in his life. He just sang that song, even though he was not going to set foot in the promised land. He was focusing on what God had done for him and through him instead of what God wasn't going to give him, what he didn't get from God. How many people are like that? God blesses us so much every day, and yet some people just focus on what they didn't get from God. like they deserved anything from God. The only thing we deserve is his wrath and his judgment. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we have earned, our wage, is death because of our sin. Instead of realizing that God did not give us what we deserve, we think we deserve something else. No, we only deserve his judgment, his wrath, his condemnation. Instead, he gave us his son. Imagine that. Imagine that. Never focus on what you do not have. If you truly needed it in order to glorify God, he'd make sure you have it. He may still give it to you, but you'd have it now if you absolutely needed it now. Focus instead on what God has given you. Be thankful for that. That's how you develop an attitude of gratitude, being thankful for what he's given to you, what he's done with you. And then lastly, will your legacy be characterized by serving the Lord until your last day? Moses went up to Mount Nebo, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there, according to the word of the Lord. Will your legacy be one of serving him until the last day you draw breath on the earth? Oh, may that be so. May every one of you here run the race well. Finish the course. Don't collapse before the finish line. Run all the way to the end. Cross that finish line. He's waiting there with open arms to take you and hug you and hold you close to him and tell him how much he loves you and how proud he is of you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Will you be characterized by serving him until the last day? That will be the exclamation point on your life. The last day speaks louder than any day that comes before it. Let me give you two challenges, two parting questions for self-examination today. Will you begin to pray daily that the Lord would help you be faithful until the end of life's race? I do this. I don't trust in myself. If it's up to me, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall flat on my face. So I pray to him each day for this, to hold me tight, hold me close, help me to be faithful. Will you begin to prayerfully ponder the Christian legacy you're leaving behind? Take honest stock of it. If you're at all like me, if you examine this prayerfully before the Lord, not all of it's going to be good. Oh, be humbled by that. Be ashamed of it. Of your shortcomings, your failures, your flaws, and let those be the impetus to cry out to God to help you to be more faithful and to leave a glorious Christian legacy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the power of your word. Oh, dear God, how we thank you that you are with us always, that you go before us, that we are never alone. How we thank you that you found us when we were in a desert land, in a waste place, about to perish, having no way to redeem ourselves, to help ourselves. You came and sent your son, and you called us to him, and you saved us gloriously for your name's sake. Oh, we thank you for this. Dear God, help us to be ever mindful of our legacy. And by the power of your Spirit, may we leave a legacy that brings you honor and glory, that inspires our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that convicts those who do not yet know Christ as Savior of their need of his salvation. Oh, dear God, we ask all this for your glory and your name's sake. Amen.